Thank you. All right. Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I CRS. The time is 1 o'clock. The date is December 4th, and we are meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The Title Setting Board today consists of myself, Suzanne Steyert, Deputy Secretary of State, on behalf of Scott Gessler, Jason Gallander, Senior Attorney Designee of the Director of Office of Legislative Legal Services, Dan Carton, seated to my left, and Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, Designee of Attorney General John Southers, is seated to my right. Today we are meeting to consider title setting for one hearing. There are two titles for each measure. One is a statement and the other is a statement in the form of a question. Changes adopted by the title board to the first title in the staff draft will be considered adopted for the other title. For anyone who wishes to testify, there's a sign-up sheet on the back table, and this hearing is being broadcast over the internet from the Secretary of State's websites. Public restrooms are located on this floor. When the title board considers a proposed initiative for the first time, the board will follow three steps. First, board members may wish to ask the proponents questions. This is to ensure that the board understands the proposal. Second, the board will determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title. In particular, the board must determine if the measure complies with the single subject rule prescribed in Article 5, Section 1, 5.5 of the Colorado Constitution and Section 1-40-106.5 of Colorado Revised Statutes. This is because the board is prohibited from setting a title for a measure that contains more than one subject. Third, if the board determines that it has jurisdiction to set a title, then the board will use a staff-prepared draft for discussion purposes. A copy of the staff draft is on the table. Generally, we'll take all testimony first, then the board will discuss and vote after all testimony is completed. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board. Please take note that we are not concerned with the merits of any proposal here. We are only concerned with the setting of titles. Furthermore, we are not concerned with any legal or constitutional objections to the measures, except to the extent that such objections relate to the jurisdiction of the board to set titles or the correctness of the titles and the summaries themselves. Anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the title board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 calendar days. The item that we have on the agenda today is 2013-2014, number 48, labeling of genetically modified food. And are the proponents here? Okay. If you could just come up and introduce yourselves and maybe explain a little bit about your proposal.
Madam Chair, Trey Rogers here for the proponents. They are here. Larry Cooper and Cheryl Gray are on the front row. They have signed their affidavits. And very brief summary of the initiative. It would require the labeling of genetically modified foods sold in the state. There are certain exceptions. There's also a delayed implementation date. Labeling wouldn't be required until July 1, 2016. Beyond that, we're into the details. So okay. We have brought with us a proposed red line, a few changes to the staff draft. We generally thought the staff draft was very good, but we have, as you might expect, just a few suggestions, and happy to take those when you're ready.
All right. Thank you. Anyone have any questions for the proponents? No?
No.
Okay. Mr. Rogers is the only person I have signed up. Is there anyone else present who wishes to testify on this issue? No? Okay. I guess that takes us to the single subject issue.
Okay. I don't see anything that would be a second subject in this, so unless someone else does, I just make a motion that we find that the measure has a single subject.
I second that motion.
All right. Any discussion? No. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So that passes unanimously, which then takes us to the question, the title itself. All right. Any comments? Thank you, Mr. Rogers, for submitting your changes in writing. I see you don't like the word amendment.
Statutory. Well, our understanding is typically amendment is used when the initiative would amend the Constitution, and to create clarity when it's a statutory change, The word change is typically used. We thought that was probably just an oversight. We would prefer the word change to avoid any confusion.
Any questions about that? Do you want to?
Just a comment that that's actually a statutory requirement, so we should definitely do it. And I would also propose that we start by considering the proponent's suggested draft rather than the staff draft.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
And we've provided that to Mr. Ward. I think he's got it electronically there.
There it is.
If it would be helpful, I could walk through the changes we proposed.
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So we've already discussed the change from amendment to change. I know that the language the board often uses is concerning, and then the topic of the initiative. When we read this with the word concerning, it occurred to us that it could appear that the state already requires labeling and that all we're doing through the initiative is creating exceptions. And so we would propose to strike the word concerning and replace it with requiring. We think it's important that there is a delayed implementation of the labeling requirements. Thus, on line two, we would insert starting on July 1, 2016. Then we get to the list of exceptions. Appreciate the staff's effort to use perhaps more common usage words here, but we thought it was important, in addition to restaurant foods, to point out that there's an exception for foods not packaged for retail sale. So, for instance, that could be a brownie purchased at a bakery. That's not restaurant food, but it certainly is accepted from the labeling requirement. Then on line four, again, I think the staff draft used the term pet to have kind of a more common usage. We don't generally talk about animal food, but animal food is the language we've used in the initiative. And frankly, it is broader than pet. Animal would encompass livestock feed, for instance. And so we thought pet was too narrow. Animal is more appropriate. Those are our proposals.
Okay. If you want to go ahead and...
Yeah.
I agree on the beginning language. I don't know that we have a lot of choice.
Okay. So then I guess as a start, you asked me to make a motion versus the starting point to adopt the recommended language. I do have a few minor suggestions with it also.
Okay.
But
yeah, go ahead.
Okay. First thing is we have sort of foods pluralized in some places and singular, or at least without an S in others. I would just have it without an S everywhere if no one objects.
Fine with me. I don't even know if foods is a word. Can you?
And if that's okay, the only other thing I would say is on line four where we say granting authority to, seems easier to just say authorizing. That's all I have.
All of these changes are improvements, I think. I do have, I guess, a couple of questions. I don't know if these are questions about the title or the text of the measure itself. One apply is about reading this exemption language that's in Q 5V. As I read that, the exemption for food not packaged for retail sale, the way we have it in the text is kind of a list of all these separate exemptions in the title. But the text actually, I think, says these are subsets of one exemption. Certain processed foods, restaurant foods, I guess those are the ones that we have listed there. Medically prescribed food, are subsets of the not packaged for retail sale exemption. I'm not sure. The only place where I can think of where I was curious if it would make a difference is in Q5B about restaurant food. So obviously, if you go to a typical restaurant, that's covered. But what about like at Whole Foods, where you can get some prepared food, but that's not an establishment that's primarily engaged in the sale of prepared and intent food. I don't think. I think it's typically a grocery store for the most part. So I'm just trying to figure out how the labeling requirement would apply to the sort of little deli at Whole Foods or King Soopers or wherever, where that's a small part of their business. But it's basically a little miniature restaurant or deli inside of another store. So that's one question, and then that might suggest a little bit different language describing the exemptions. And then I wonder if we need to be a little more detailed in describing the what is being required. We got quite a bit of detail on the exemptions, but just sort of a very generic statement of what's being required, but it's fairly complicated, actually. And you know, the usual concerning language is okay with a generic statement of the single subject, but when it's also being used, as it would be in this form, when it's also being used to lay out the main requirement of the measure, then I wonder if we need to be a little bit more detailed. And that leads me to something that I guess actually is a question for the proponents, which is about C1. In particular, I'm curious, so there's, now I can't remember where it was, there's an exemption for fertilizer, manure fertilizer, right? That applying fertilizer of that type is not genetic modification, if I'm reading this right. But so my question is, so C1 seems to say, so if you use fertilizer that itself was genetically engineered, but it's just a typical seed, an unmodified seed, that the use of that kind of fertilizer would turn the resulting plant, and therefore any food made from it, into genetically modified food. Am I reading that right?
I think you've got it backwards. The use of genetically modified fertilizer, for lack of a better term, would be an exception to the requirement that a genetically engineered food is covered.
Well, I guess I'm obviously not enough of an expert on fertilizer to know. I see the exception for manure as a fertilizer.
Yeah, the reason for that is that an argument could be made that if a plant is planted, or if fertilizer is used, the argument could be made that the plant has been treated with fertilizer, and that's not the intent, and thus the exception to clarify that.
Okay, so okay, all right. Well, then I guess my question, that answers my question, I think, so thank you. The question for us then is this good enough, just stating that it requires the labeling of genetically modified foods without any sort of discussion of what labeling means, what genetically modified foods means. Is that good enough? Maybe it is. I mean, it certainly would be good enough as a statement of the single subject, I think. But then it would go back to concerning the labeling of genetically modified foods, et cetera, and in connection therewith, requiring, that's the sort of way these often are done. I understand this is sort of a streamlined version of that, but is simply saying requiring the labeling of genetically modified foods, imparting all the material components of the measure to a voter. Maybe it is. I mean, it's not, it's despite my inability to grasp some of the details, it's not that complicated or surprising a measure, I don't think.
I think my only question on that would be whether just saying labeling sort of says enough, or if maybe that should be the single subject with a concerning, and then we should say, you know, requiring and mention what the specific label actually says, which is produced with genetic engineering. I don't know if that's sort of important enough to have to be in there or not.
I mean, I like it better just because it says what the label is going to, you know, puts people on notice of what it's going to look like and what we're actually requiring. Like, are we requiring that it be, they list how it's genetically modified, or they, you know, I mean, to what degree are the requirements that are being proposed? I think that's something important to people voting yes or no, is what's the burden, you know, on the person putting on the label. And so if the label is simply genetically modified, then I think that that could be something that is important to somebody voting. I'd prefer it if, and then we keep the concerning, the labeling, and in connection therewith, requiring a label blank, exempting these other things, except for maybe.
Well, that's the format kind of that's been used typically in the past, where you just have sort of a generic statement of the subject, and then the in connection therewith has all the material actions. And I do think if we're going to get any more detailed than what we have now, it'd be better to go that way.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to propose it?
Okay. So Steve, please go take the concerning there. I think we can also take the out before labeling, just concerning labeling of genetically modified foods. And then the semicolon and, sorry, food. I'm sorry, food. That was my other one. I think then in connection there with, you know, requiring the label produced with genetic engineering to appear starting on July 1st, 2016, and then do go on to the rest.
Yeah.
I think actually in the text, the all those words in the label are capitalized.
I think you're looking for initial caps on those words.
Yeah.
Right, sorry.
So, Mr. Rogers, what is the answer to the Whole Foods question? Because, I mean, there's a difference between getting your piece of pizza at Whole Foods and eating it there and getting your, you know, quinoa salad in the prepared packaging area.
So if the quinoa salad at Whole Foods would not be packaged for retail sale, and it would be a processed food prepared and intended for immediate human consumption. So I think under 5A, there would not be a requirement to label the quinoa.
So that's covered under A as processed food.
Right.
Not B, the restaurant exemption.
Hold on, let me confer with the...
Yeah, it's either.
All right, we're sticking with that answer.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe I should take the Whole Foods example out because maybe that's not a good one. But, you know, like the King Soopers mass-produced potato salad that's in the deli section, that's going to be exempted under the same. Okay.
Well, if it's
clients
if it's,
are nodding, so.
Well, let me just clarify that a little bit. I mean, I think okay. If it's produced in a commercial kitchen by a third party up in Brighton and then shipped down to the King Soopers, that's been packaged for retail sale. That's going to need to carry the label.
Okay.
On the other hand, if the guys at King Soopers make it in the kitchen in the back of the grocery store and put it out there in a big bin only to later.
I don't think they do.
Scoop it out.
So it's going to depend on, I mean, I think even Whole Foods has a bakery that's a centralized factory and then they, you know, ship it down to the stores.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure everything is, so it's going to be determined based on what's made there?
It'll be determined on the packaging, whether it's packaged and labeled for retail sale or whether it's produced in a offered in a bulk format only to be kind of scooped out and slapped in a container with a price label on it, I would say no.
Okay. It's just kind of odd because it's the same food. I mean, if you go get it in the salad bar at Whole Foods, it's the same food they brought down as the packaged one over on the side that you don't want to bother to scoop out yourself.
Well, I think with different labeling requirements, right? So if it's and believe me, I know a lot more about packaging of food than I did a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and I don't.
It's still kind of an arcane area, but... as I understand it, if it's prepackaged, there are certain nutritional labeling requirements, et cetera, that need to appear on
right.
the package. On the other hand, if it's offered kind of in bulk at the
okay.
retail outlet, and the only function of the package there is to give you something to carry the product home in, I believe the labeling requirements are different.
Okay. I wonder if we should say packaged and labeled for retail sale.
Well, the initiative does not. The language in the initiative is packaged for retail sale.
Okay.
So then my question for us really is so we've got three things in there. Exemptions. Foods not packaged for retail sale, certain processed foods, and restaurant foods, which actually are all QV A and B, Q5 A and B, which is really only two exemptions because it's an and. So it's not any food which is not packaged for retail sale, which is what the title says. It's those foods which are not packaged for retail sale and are processed foods or restaurant foods.
So could we just say?
And processed foods has its own special definition in the definition section, so.
So should we just say processed food, not packaged for retail sale?
Yeah, I mean, it starts to get a little complicated and might require us to have our first semicolon versus comma discussion of the season. But, you know, it's not all processed foods, which is what the title says. And it's not all processed foods not packaged for retail sale.
But I think if you just exempt certain processed foods, I mean.
And that's the word I would do is just do the certain, I think. I mean, I don't know how much value we add to the voter to get into heavy detail.
Well, I don't either, but I know we don't add value by saying something that's not true.
Right, but I'm saying the qualifier certain eliminates that inaccuracy, I think, without us going through the.
Well, I guess the question is, would you then get rid of the.
Or you could get rid of the whole clause foods. Then, I guess. Yeah, interesting. That's what the staff draft had, I think, was the whole certain processed foods, and then it's their right. Change went to the retail sale. So,
right, exactly.
Well, then I guess we can just cover it and, you know, say exempting processed foods that are prepared and intended for immediate human consumption or served in an establishment that primarily, you know, sells food for immediate human consumption. It just seems like a lot.
Yeah.
What if, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I wouldn't want us to do that. What if it said exempting certain processed and restaurant food that is not packaged for retail sale, comma, and then go on.
Except it makes it then, the certain modifies restaurant too, doesn't it?
Which I think is accurate. It's not all restaurant food.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I see the issue that you're struggling with, and I think you're probably right. Really, there are two subcategories. Maybe the simpler solution is to eliminate restaurant and eliminate certain processed foods and instead replace those with the higher level verbiage, which would be certain food which is not packaged for retail sale.
That would probably work. And then you can figure out what kind.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Can we say that instead of which?
Not going to tell people about gum.
That's why you get the big bucks, Mr. Mundo, to decide whether that
to decide.
Is that the only one we haven't put in the list yet?
If
it is, we probably should put it in
no.
The list.
There's more, I think.
There's the
of the unengineered animals.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay without it. I'd probably be okay without the alcoholic beverages too. So I think I'm okay with the exemption language. I wonder if the requirement language could be a little bit clearer, something like requiring the words, I mean closer to the measure, requiring the words produced with genetic engineering appear in a conspicuous manner on the label of food, on foods label, or some way of saying that, starting, etc.
At the risk of expanding the conversation, should this be described in terms of defining the food as misbranded? Because that's what we're really doing here. And this whole paragraph Q follows that intro about a food shall be
right
and branded if
inserted in the existing labeling requirements. I mean, I
don't know if anybody's going to understand what.
I think it's
I wouldn't want to use the word misbranded. We could use a different word, but.
Should it say something like requiring labeling of genetically modified food as produced with genetic engineering starting on July 1st, 2016?
That's fine. I would just use the language of the measure, just as easy, I think. Which would just be requiring the words produced with genetic engineering appear in a clear and conspicuous manner on foods label. Either be on the label of food, on the label of food, or on foods label.
Either that after requiring or a two after engineering, one of the two.
Can we just say on the label? Okay, that's the.
Looks pretty good.
I'm fine with it. I'll read it while we think. A change to the Colorado revised statute concerning labeling of genetically modified food and in connection therewith requiring that the words produced with genetic engineering appear in a clear and conspicuous manner on the label starting on July 1st, 2016, exempting certain food that is not packaged for retail sale, alcoholic beverages, animal food, and medically prescribed food, authorizing the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment to regulate the labeling of genetically modified food, and specifying that no private right of action is created against a distributor, manufacturer, or retailer in connection with the labeling requirements. Do you think we just say authorizing the state of Colorado to regulate? I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. Just don't know that we need whatever the department is in there. Doesn't save us that many words, though.
I'm okay with it. Okay. I do wonder if you could get rid of the against a distributor, manufacturer, or retailer. It doesn't really bother me. Just more words, but doesn't create any private right of action.
Just asking the proponents, is the intent simply that there's no private right of action against anybody?
Yes.
Then I would agree with that idea to remove that language.
About a private action at all, or just about?
Just against distributor, manufacturer, retailer.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you want a motion?
Sure.
Recommending those changes?
That'd be great.
All right. I move then that we adopt the staff draft as amended.
Second.
Right. Any further discussion? Let me just read it in one more time since we changed it. So it'll be a change to the Colorado revised statutes concerning labeling of genetically modified food and in connection therewith requiring the words produced with genetic engineering appear in a clear and conspicuous manner on the label starting on July 1, 2016, exempting certain food that is not packaged for retail sale. Alcoholic beverages, animal food, and medically prescribed food, authorizing the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment to regulate the labeling of genetically modified food and specifying that no private right of action is created in connection with the labeling requirements.
No,
go ahead.
I do think I have to bring up a comma versus semicolon point.
Go ahead.
As embarrassed as I am, I think after 2016 should be a semicolon. All of our sort of clauses have their own semicolon, and there's a serial list in there that's commas. I think that is how the rest of it works.
Okay.
So with that semicolon, my motion should include the title with that semicolon change.
All right. Second. All right, then any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So it passes unanimously. And that is the only item on our agenda. Again, anyone who's not satisfied with the title has 7 days to request a rehearing. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Stephen.